The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
We are at war. We have an enemy. And we have battles that we must fight. And everyone in the body of Christ needs to recognize that you've been called as a soldier. We've talked about that. You're a soldier in the camp, in God's camp, and the enemy is trying to take us out. He's trying to stop us. But his authority and his power cannot do that if we know who we are in Christ. We'll talk more about that. Second thing we talked about is our enemy is well organized. Ephesians 6, 10 through 12 tells us that our enemy is a very well organized troop. They have an army, and they have organization in that army. They have rank in that army. Their principalities, their powers, their rulers of darkness. There are fallen angels that have certain rank in that army. So they are well organized. Number three, believers must engage in the battle. That's where we're talking about the importance of believers recognizing that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness of this world. We must engage in this battle. We must recognize the importance of getting involved in the battle. And not sit on the sidelines thinking that if we are passive, the enemy will just leave us alone. Well, that's a lie. He's not going to leave you alone. You need to take your proper position as a believer in Jesus Christ and do battle against him. Because you are already victorious. We know that this enemy comes as a thief. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He wants to steal your blessings. God has already blessed you. Those ironic blessings that I spoke this morning, the Lord will bless you. The Lord will keep you. The Lord will give you peace. It's not a matter if he chooses to. He already has. It's been done. And it's been completed in Jesus Christ. So the blessings of God, the peace of God, the power of God is yours. And the enemy comes to try to steal those blessings by the only thing he has, the only weapon he has is to lie. And he's the father of lies. And he wants to lie to you and keep you from knowing the truth about what God has for you. The thief comes to steal your blessing. He comes to kill your faith. If he can kill your faith, he can hold you back. He can keep you from accomplishing the things that God wants you to accomplish. So he wants to kill your faith. And the last thing he wants to do is he wants to destroy. If he can kill your faith, he can destroy your destiny. God has a destiny for you. God has a plan. Your steps have already been ordered by God. The word is very clear on that. They're ordered. All you have to do is walk in them. Just because somebody orders your steps, I sometimes order my grandchildren to do certain things. And just because I order Marshall to go over there and get things, it's an order. I say, Marshall, go do it. That's an order. I expect him to do it. That doesn't mean he's going to do it. Many times it means he's going to do just the opposite of what I ask him to do. But I have ordered his steps to go do that. And God has ordered your steps in your whole life. If you deviate from those, that's your dealings. That's your fault. That's your desire. You've left God's orders to go do your own thing. However, the great news is that even if you get off track, you can always get right back on. You always get back in that path that God has laid for you. His steps are still ordered. And you can just pick up right where you left off and start going forward with God, accomplishing God's will. So we got to understand this enemy and know that he's trying to stop us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Now you see, he goes looking for people that he can devour. And when he finds one that he can devour, he will devour them. I've seen many, time after time, Christians being devoured by the enemy. It doesn't have to happen. You don't have to fall prey to this enemy. You don't have to allow him to have anything in your life, any place in your life. But he will devour you if you allow him to devour you. And that's his whole purpose. He walks about like a roaring lion. He's looking for someone that he can devour. That's why you need to get in the place where you understand who this enemy is. So the believers must understand the enemy. And we must see that he is a roaring lion that is really toothless. He roars, but he has no fangs. He roars, but he has no claws. He roars and makes a lot of noise in people's lives. And it's all facade. It's not real. When he roars in your face, all you have to do is recognize that the blood of Jesus has protected you. He cannot get to you. He's toothless. He's clawless. But he's a liar, and he's good at it. And he will lie to you, and he will try to make you believe that he has some kind of power and authority over you. That's what all that prayer was this morning. Helping people to recognize who they are in Christ. Helping people to recognize that the curses have already been broken. All you got to do is walk in that. Walk in the power of God. It's put behind you. It's no longer a part of you. You have defeated it because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Number five I want to share with you this morning. Satan and demons are real. Now, I know I've already talked extensively about that reality, but we need to catch hold of this fact. The demonic realm is real. You know, it's not just a metaphor for man's evil. Demonic forces are real. Their purpose is to tempt people to be able to lead them astray. And they do a very good job of that. The whole world is under the control of the enemy. Unless you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, guess what? It says Satan is the god of this world. They're real spiritual entities that are alive, that live in a different realm than we live in. But they're here. They're all around. They're everywhere. We've already established their goal. They want to kill. They want to steal. They want to steal your blessings. They want to kill your faith. They want to destroy your destiny. They want to lie to you and lead you in a totally different direction than God wants you to walk in. The leader of these dark forces, of course, is Lucifer. He goes by many names. But in Isaiah chapter 14, let's just go there real quick. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through 14. Now, as I read this, I want you to understand this, that Bible scholars, most of them agree that this is a dual scriptural, has a dual scriptural meaning. It is talking about the king of Babylon, but most would agree that it's also talking about Satan, Lucifer, the angel who fell from heaven because he rebelled against God. "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And of course, his great sin was pride, thinking that he could ascend above God, that he could overthrow God, that he could be more powerful than God. Lucifer is the being that is in control of all the dark forces. Lucifer means day star, son of the morning, or light bearer. Lucifer, we call him Satan. He goes by many names in several places. In 1 John 5:19, he is called the prince of the world. In John 12:31, he's called the god of this age. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, the ruler of the kingdom of the air. So we know that he is the ruler. He is the head. And that he has some authority in this place, in this earth. He doesn't have authority over you. He doesn't have authority over God. But because of the way things were established in this earth, God set Adam and Eve over this kingdom, this whole earth. He told them to spread the Garden of Eden everywhere, the kingdom, God's kingdom that was on earth. He told them to spread it. And what did they do? Rather than spread the kingdom, they gave the authority of the kingdom over to the enemy. So the enemy has had authority in this earth. But that was part of what Jesus came back to do. He took the keys away from the enemy. He snatched them away from him. And he no longer has authority. Now he has authority over the people of this world, the system of this world, because they are deceived. But believers are no longer a part of that kingdom of darkness. He's not our God. Our Father is in heaven, and Jesus Christ, his Son, came and walked on this earth, and he cast out demonic forces. He walked on serpents and scorpions. He rose above and he hung on that cross so that we could have authority in this earth. And he told us to go about preaching and teaching the kingdom. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is here. The power of God no longer allows the enemy to have power in your life because the kingdom is here. Hallelujah. And we have authority to preach that and to teach it. It is good news. It's the kind of news that says the enemy's power is broken. Yes. We are living an abundant life in Jesus Christ. The good news of the gospel. Glory. All those curses are broken. But the enemy certainly has some power and authority. In fact, in Luke chapter 4, I'm not going to ask you to turn there, limited time. But Jesus was being tempted. And that's another term that is used for Satan, tempter. And all his forces, his dark forces, are all about tempting people. Jesus was being tempted because he was doing prayer and fasting. And let me tell you something. The enemy hates it when people pray and fast. He hates it because he knows that when people pray and fast and they take authority over their flesh, they're going to build up their faith, and they're going to have more authority over him. They're going to recognize they have more authority. That's what it's all about. It's not that we have more authority. We have all the authority we're ever going to have. But when we overcome our flesh, we begin to recognize our spirit is built up, and there's something inside of us that rises up in us that says, hey, wait a minute. I'm not under the enemy's feet. He's under my feet. I have authority. I have power. I can walk in these things. I don't live under the curse of poverty. I don't live under the curses that have come down through my generations. I am above these things. I'm the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. Hallelujah. That's why I'm excited about this upcoming time of prayer and fasting. And by the way, there's a sign-up sheet out there. Sign up to pray and fast during this period of time. We are praying and fasting for a move of God during our fresh oil and new wine services. I'm excited about what God is going to be doing. Ronnie is going to be here for a couple nights. Pastor Ron is going to be here for a couple nights. We're going to have an exciting time in the Lord.
Amen.
And we want to see people come in these doors and be set free. It'll happen. It's going to happen. But listen, we're going to prepare the way. We're going to get ourselves in a position where we recognize who Jesus Christ is in us and the power that we have by praying and fasting and building ourselves up in our most holy faith. Yes. Amen? Glory. What a good God we serve. Yeah. Anyhow, Jesus was being tempted. And of course, we know what Jesus did when he was tempted. He told the enemy to get out. He said, get off my back. And how did he do it? He went to the Word. He said, it is written. It is written. That's why the Word of God is so important in your life. When the enemy comes and tries to tempt you, tries to lie to you, what do you say? Well, I think I have some authority here, Satan. That's a mealy-mouthed believer. What do you say? You know what the Word of God says. Get thee behind me, Satan. It is written. It is written. You know, man shall not live by bread alone. Hallelujah. It is written. No, man shall not worship any other god. It is written. Jesus had the Word. He was the Word. The Word walking on the face of the earth. And when we have the Word in us, the enemy is a defeated foe in our life. But the enemies did say this to Jesus. He said, if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world, because all authority has been given to me. It's been delivered to me, and I'll give it to whoever I wish. See, that goes back to the situation with Adam and Eve. It was given to him. But because Jesus didn't fall prey to his deception, and Jesus died on the cross for our sins, Jesus went into hell and took the keys of the kingdom, the keys of death and hell. He took every key that the enemy had. The only power and authority the enemy has over this earth right now is deception. He's deceiving people. That's where we come in. We're the light. And when we shine the light, the deception flees away. The deception, people begin to see. Now, not everyone's going to see. Some like the darkness and they want to live in it. But praise God, the light, we can shine the light and people will receive that goodness in their life. So Satan does have a certain amount of power and authority. He goes by a certain name in Matthew chapter 12, verse 24. Turn there if you'd like. But the rulers, the Pharisees, told Jesus that he was casting out devils by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Now, Beelzebub is literally translated Lord of the Flies. And what we can get out of that is to recognize that they were saying that demons are literally like flies. They're everywhere. They're all over the place. They were so numerous you couldn't even count them. They're these demonic forces. Now, I was thinking about flies, and in the spring, usually spring and fall, on the side of my mom's house, she has a light-colored siding on her house. And on the back side, where the sun shines most, flies congregate there. And there are thousands of flies. She always goes crazy. What am I going to do about these flies? You know, there it is everywhere. Thousands and thousands. You couldn't count them if you tried. And Jesus, and what they were saying is that the demonic forces are like flies. They are so numerous. And they kind of operate like flies. They fly here and they fly there, and they're looking, trying to find someone that they can have authority over and tempt and put down. But the reality is there are demonic forces. Satan is ahead, but there are forces of hell. Now, I want to tell you something. You may agree or disagree with me about this, but I'm going to tell you what I believe. First of all, I do not believe that fallen angels are the demons. I can't tell you exactly where demons came from, what their origin is. But the reason I do not believe that is because fallen angels, even though they were cast out, they have spiritual bodies. And those spiritual bodies, they could actually materialize into human flesh. All through the Old Testament, you see angels coming to earth, and they looked like humans, and they conversed with some of the patriarchs. People saw them, and they were beings. In fact, in the Old Testament, in Genesis, I can't remember the exact scripture on that, but in Genesis, it talks about the angels leaving their first abode and coming to earth and having relationship with women. And that in those days, there were giants in the land. Those beings have bodies. Demons do not. Demons are bodiless spirits that are roaming around looking for a body that they can enter and manipulate and control to fulfill their lustful desires. They can't fulfill them outside of a body. So, if you ask me where they came from, I don't have an origin for that. I don't think it's very important. But I just want you to know, to see that there is a difference, and I believe that there are fallen angels that have great power and authority in the demonic realm, but they don't possess people. The demons do. They have a purpose. The forces that the angels that have authority, their purpose is to command and give orders and send forth. Look with me in Luke chapter 11, verse 24. I just want to back up what I said about the demonic forces. Luke chapter 11, okay, beginning with verse 24. It says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finding none. He says, I will return to my house from which I came. Now, this is where I pull from my belief and my doctrine that demons have to have a body to fulfill their lust and fulfill their evil desires. Because it says very plainly here, unclean spirit goes out of man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and he finds none. He's seeking. See, he's walking around, he's trying to find some place where he can live, some place to abide, some place to fulfill his lusts. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Comes back to the house. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Jesus gives us a little glimpse into the spirit realm and the enemy's purpose. Now, that house gets swept, and when a person is delivered from demonic forces, the thing that needs to take place in their life is that house needs to be filled up, and it needs to be filled up with the Holy Spirit. And if it can be filled up with the Holy Spirit, it doesn't leave a place, a void, for that enemy to come back and bring his buddies with him. So the enemy will come back into a house that refuses to receive Christ as their personal Savior and be filled with the Spirit of God. He has some access there. And his access, it tells you that person's state will be even worse than it was before. This is real spiritual life I'm talking about here. This is not make-believe stuff. This is what Jesus taught us. People do fall into these things. However, this power of the Holy Spirit living in us protects us and keeps us. Now, that doesn't keep the enemy from attaching to our soul realm, getting into our thought processes, and taking control over certain areas of life that we open doors for. Listen, you can be a born-again believer, but if you're getting involved with pornography, you're opening the door for an enemy to get to have control over your soul realm in that area. And they will control you in that area. They'll not completely control you, but they will control certain areas of your life. And I can tell you, alcoholism, drug addiction, and all these things are a part of the way the enemy controls people's lives, even Christians. Even believers. Demons are like flies. But remember, they have rank. That means some are stronger and some are more powerful and have more authority than others. Let me show you what I mean. Matthew chapter 17. Genesis 6. Okay, yeah, the scripture of the angels coming to earth is Genesis chapter 6. Thank you, Pastor Otis. Appreciate that. Okay, we're looking at Matthew chapter 17. Okay, begin with verse 14. Scripture that we're all very familiar with. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." And Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me." Now, in this scripture, Jesus, at that point, Jesus is talking to the whole crowd. Perverse, faithless generation. Unbelieving is what he's saying to them. You guys are unbelieving. But we're going to say that he changes his statement when he gets to the disciples and talks to them. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, listen closely to what happens here. Why? This is the disciples speaking to Jesus privately. Why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief." Now the word, the Greek word there, really does not say unbelief. It really says little faith. Because you have little faith. It's because you have little. Now these were men that walked with Jesus constantly. They saw him cast out devils. In fact, they were even commissioned to go out and cast out devils and preach the gospel all over that kingdom of Israel. Preaching and teaching the word of God. Casting out demons. Healing people. They were walking in tremendous faith and power. And yet, here they come to a situation where they are unable to cast out this demonic force. And Jesus said, it's because you have a little bit of faith. Because you don't have enough faith in this situation. Now, I don't think Jesus is really rebuking them here. I think he's saying, listen, realize that if you're going to walk in the spirit realm and you're going to encounter demonic forces, you're going to see people healed, you're going to see miraculous things happen, you've got to walk in a place where you're full of faith so that these things can happen. Because it's not about whether I've already done it or not, it's about how much faith you have. When you go forth, he makes it very clear. He said, "Because of your unbelief, your little faith, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible." If you have faith that will grow up inside of you. However, verse 21, this is a very important scripture here. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Remember, Jesus is talking to them about faith. He said, you have little faith? And then he goes on to say, okay, Here's what you can do about it. Pray and fast. Prayer and fasting. That kind, why that kind won't come out by prayer and fasting? Why didn't they have enough faith to cast that demon out when they cast out other demons? Because that demon was a more powerful demon. And it takes more faith. Walking in that power. So Jesus said to them, listen, here's how you build up your faith. Take authority over your body. Take authority over your mind. Let your spirit rise up inside of you by praying and fasting. Glory. This is a key to being free.
That's right.
Prayer and fasting. This is a key to the move of God during our fresh oil and new wine. This is a key to God's people receiving the blessings that Jesus said we could have. Abundant life. This is a key. Overcoming our flesh. Putting it down. Making it subjected or causing it to be subjected to our spirit. Rather than the other way around, where our spirit just has to do whatever our flesh wants to do. You see, it's all going to take place here. Our flesh tells our mind, our soul, our will, our emotions what it wants. And the soul, the mind, the will makes a decision. I'm either going to obey my flesh, or I'm going to obey my spirit, because my spirit wants me to line up with the Word of God. This thing it's a bridge between the two. And this thing makes the decision on what to do. And if we're full of the Word of God and full of faith, we choose the right thing. We choose to obey the spirit rather than the flesh. We put it down. But when we do, but listen, we're imperfect beings, and sometimes we choose to do the wrong things. Thank God we have Jesus Christ's blood that covers us when we do. Amen. 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 The enemy is such a liar. He'll get you. He'll cause you to do something. He'll tempt you. And because you've followed your flesh and be tempted, you'll do it. And then the enemy will turn right around and accuse you. He'll lie to you and tell you how a worthless dog you are, and how you've been wallowing in the mud with the Satan and with the enemies and with the demons, and how you are just no good, and you, God couldn't use you for anything. Those are all lies.
That's right.
That he uses against you. Because even though you do wrong, you have one that hung on the cross for you.
That's
he was
right.
Your propitiation. He was your substitute. He died in your place. God's grace and his mercy are sufficient for you. No matter what you've done, no matter what you're doing, it's sufficient for you. Yes, God wants you to be free. If you're caught up in alcoholism, he wants you set free from that. If you are in drug addiction, he wants you free from that. But that doesn't mean that you're not a believer in Jesus Christ. And if you are not, guess what? You can be today. In Jesus' name. You can receive Christ as your personal Savior. You can be saved and set free in Jesus' name. You can be headed for the kingdom of God. And in fact, you can become a warrior for the kingdom of God in this earth. Amen. Hallelujah. God is so good to us. So when we encounter certain spiritual forces, we just need to recognize that we got to build ourselves up into faith. We got to build ourselves up prayer and fasting, reading the Word, getting things inside of us. Stop filling yourself up with the things of the world. That television will fill you up with nonsense that the enemy wants you to feed on. You're feeding. When you're watching that thing, you're feeding. You either feed on that or you feed on the Word of God. You're feeding when you're talking to non-believers who are telling you things that are contrary to the Word of God. They're telling you, well, that woman isn't worth anything. You need to go have some fun with us. And they'll tell you that stuff. They'll try to make you think that their lifestyle is better than yours. They're liars. Because they're after the father of lies. Praise God. Faith needs to build up in you. And faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. According to Jesus, faith can be strengthened and increased by that prayer and fasting. Now, I'm going to give you some demonic forces that would probably be considered generals in the kingdom of darkness that are in the Scripture. The first one is Jezebel, spirit of Jezebel. And the spirit of Jezebel is a controlling, manipulating spirit. It wants to have authority. However, it normally takes a back seat, gets in the background, and uses someone else by manipulating and controlling. You can read in the Old Testament how Jezebel, the queen, actually had Ahab, the king, that did her bidding for her. That's the way the spirit of Jezebel works. And the spirit of Jezebel is alive and well today. And let me tell you something, it tries time after time after time to have authority in this church and every other church in this nation and in the kingdom of God. It will not stop. So therefore, we need to recognize that spirit and know that when there is a spirit of control and manipulation, when people are trying to control other people by manipulating them, then that's the spirit of Jezebel. And we're going to stand against it. We're going to stop it. We're not going to allow it to have authority in this place. In Jesus' name. You can find the spirit of Jezebel in Revelation, not only in the Old Testament, but also in Revelation 2:20. Leviathan, which is found in Job chapter 41. And Leviathan is pride. It's a spirit of pride that will try to move in and manipulate people into feeling like they are something rather than recognizing the power of God. We see it all the time in the body of Christ. Python is a spirit of false prophecy or divination. It strangles people. It wraps its coils around. We all know what a python does. It wraps its coils around and strangles and strangles and strangles. Every time you take a breath and you exhale, it tightens up. Spirit of Python is trying to destroy this church. It's trying to destroy every church. It's a powerful spirit. But it doesn't, you know, it's one of those general spirits where it manipulates and controls and gives orders to others. Legion. Legion is found in Mark 5. And it's a demon of pain and torment. You'll find that legion that Jesus cast out, the guy was in the tombs cutting himself and crying out because he's in such torture and torment because of the demon. Now, the reason I share these things with you is I want you to recognize that these are spiritual forces in the Bible that shows the rank and the power of the enemy. However, the next thing I want to share with you is number 6, believers must know their proper battle stance. If we know our proper battle stance, our proper position in Jesus Christ, we will be victorious. The enemy has no part in you. Jesus is your Savior. The blood of Christ covers you and keeps you and protects you. You will not be overcome by this enemy if you know who you are. There are several places that we could go this morning. I'm going to just tell you in Genesis 3:15, you can find out that it says that the enemy is going to bruise the heel of Jesus, but Jesus is going to crush his head. And he's crushed. And in Isaiah 53:5, we find that Jesus overcomes and made a way for all of us to have salvation. Now I want to direct you to Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through 15. This is going to be our last scripture this morning. Colossians chapter 2, beginning with verse 6. As you, therefore, have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophies and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of this world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principalities and powers. Here we see that it says, because of what Jesus did for us, He is over all the principalities and powers. He has authority over them. And because we have been given authority, there are several places that we could look at. We're not going to have time for that this morning. We can recognize and we can walk in that authority. You see, Jesus is over them, but He delegated His authority to us. In John chapter 14, verse 12, He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on Me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father." So you see, He told us that these signs will follow them in Mark, that believe in His name. And in His name we shall do these. We'll cast out demons. We'll drink deadly things. Nothing that He can do can harm us, because Jesus delegated His power and authority to us. Because Jesus gave us all that we need to walk in this earth and to walk with abundance in our life. Jesus does not want you to be a victim of the enemy. He wants you to rise above. He wants you to know that the authority that He delegated in this earth is given to His people to be able to overcome this enemy that is trying to pull us down and hold us back. The problem is, and I mentioned this last week, the problem is we are anemic Christians. You see, we know that the Bible says the life is in the blood. In fact, they used to believe that they could bleed somebody when they got sick and make them well. Well, George Washington died of a cold because they bled him to death. Life is in the blood. Our spiritual life is in the blood. But believers, we don't talk about the blood anymore. We don't talk about the power of the blood because it makes people a little uncomfortable. They don't want us to hear about the blood of Jesus. But it's the blood that delivers us. It's the blood that set us free. You see, in a natural sense, when we become anemic, many times it's because people have lost blood. Sometimes it's because of malnutrition. Not enough in the spiritual, not enough word in your life. Sometimes it's because of disease. The body of Christ has become diseased because we don't believe in the blood anymore. It's the blood of Jesus that sets you free. It's the blood of Jesus that gives you power and authority. It's the blood of Jesus that causes the demons to flee. It's the blood. Amen. Stand with me. Hallelujah. God is such a good God. I want to praise Him for giving His people power and authority in Jesus' name. I want to encourage everyone, sign up for that, for prayer and fasting, because I believe we need this body praying, fasting, seeking God for that fresh oil, new wine service, so the kingdom will be glorified, so the enemy will be put down, so that we will be strong. We'll come into this place every night because we've prepared ourselves with expectation of what God is going to do in people's lives. Let's get excited about this thing because it's good. Last year was good. This year is going to be even better. Hallelujah. Pastor Ron is excited about being here. Ronnie's excited about being here. This is one, they told us that this is one of the best fresh oil and new wines they have. They're looking forward to being here. So praise God. Let's look forward to having them. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your kingdom. I thank you for the power. I thank you for the name of Jesus that above every name. I thank you that we put the enemy under our feet where he belongs. He is a defeated foe, and we will accomplish your will in this earth, Father. Your kingdom is going to be spread. The enemy is going to flee, and we are going to do great and mighty things for you. Father God, we are going to walk in this abundant life that you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Have a wonderful day.
Hi, this is Pastor Rob Barber. Thanks for listening to our message today. We're excited about what God's doing here at Bethel Worship Center and in the body of Christ at large in 2012. If you'd like to learn more about the ministries here at Bethel, please visit our website at www.bethelwc.org. God bless you and have a great day.